AM 1340, 98.3 FM, KIHR in Hood River. We are online at GorgeRadio.com or on Alexa through the KIHR skill. We've got our podcast at GorgeRadio.com as well. Thanks for being a part of the morning. It's a Thursday, the 5th of January. We got a full show for you this morning, first half of the program. Going to talk about the upcoming Sense of Place lecture from Mount Adams Institute, and it's going to be on wildfire in the gorge, the good, the bad, the lessons from Eagle Creek. As we mentioned yesterday, it's already been a little over 5 years since the Eagle Creek fire. Sarah Fox is going to be here. We're going to have also Jessica Hudeck on the phone. Jessica's going to be one of the panelists during this. I said lecture. It's more a panel discussion, I guess, in reality, but with three different panelists on there. But we will... We'll talk about what they're going to discuss and what's coming up on Wednesday night of next week with Sarah and Jessica. Then Lauren Kramer is going to join us. We're going to talk about, first of all, the Strong People program at OSU Extension. And we're also going to talk about some of the work on the wildfire smoke planning that they have been doing. And we'll get an update from Lauren on that. She is spearheading that effort. So we'll do all that on this program. But first, as we always do, we'll tell you about what this date has meant and what it means, at least to some people. And we can tell you on this date in 1896, an Austrian newspaper, Wiener Press, reported the discovery by the German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen of a type of radiation that came to be known as X-rays. Also this day in 1914, auto industrialist Henry Ford announced he was going to pay workers $5 for an 8-hour day as opposed to $2.34 for a 9-hour day. Employees still work 6 days a week. The five-day work week was instituted in 1926. In 1925, Democrat Nellie Taylor Ross of Wyoming took office as America's first female governor, succeeding her late husband William following a special election. 1933, on this day, construction began on the Golden Gate Bridge. It took 4 years. In 1943, educator and scientist George Washington Carver was born into slavery, died in Tuskegee, Alabama, about the age of 80. Apparently, they didn't know his exact age. In 1949, in his State of the Union address, President Harry Truman labeled his administration the Fair Deal. This day in 1957, President Dwight D. Eisenhower proposed assistance to countries to help them resist communist aggression in what became known as the Eisenhower Doctrine. This day in 1972, President Richard Nixon announced he had ordered development of the space shuttle. In 1998, Sonny Bono, the 1960s pop star turned politician, was killed when he struck a tree while skiing at the Heavenly Ski Resort on the Nevada-California state line. He was 62. And in 2004, foreigners arriving at U.S. airports were photographed and had their fingerprints scanned in the start of the government effort to keep terrorists out of the country. Days for today, it's National Bird Day today. It's also National Screenwriters Day today. For food, it's National Keto Day today. And it's National Whipped Cream Day. It's celebrated on the birthday of Aaron S. Bunny Lappin, one of the founders of Ready Whip Whipped Cream. Which, if you're getting your whipped cream out of the can, I'm not quite sure you're getting good whipped cream, but there you go. So there it is for what it's worth, 8:09 in the morning. Sarah Fox and Jessica Hudeck are going to join us right after this.
There's still time to save with Cascade Farm and Outdoors' latest mailer. Backed with tons of new savings for a new year, all Georgia boots are $30 off. Plus, get a Pete Original Shoe Dryer for $34.99. And stock up for your next feast with Pit Boss Barbecue Pellets. Our 40-pound bags are just $9.99. Save now through Tuesday, January 10th, with our latest mailer at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest. Homegrown. Honest values.
It's a fact. Sky Heating and Air Conditioning has more positive online reviews than any other heating and cooling company in the Gorge. Sky Techs show up on time and do the work right the first time. And now we're offering new clients a first-time maintenance call. Usually $180, now just $89. New furnaces start at $54 a month. Ductless heat pumps start at $59 a month. And estimates are free. For the best value and service, it's Sky Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at skyheating.com. CCB number 50244.
No one ever wants to get into a car accident, but they happen. So Farmers came up with a way to lend a hand when they do. With Crash Assist, the Farmers Signal app can detect that you've been in an accident and send help your way if you want it. It's one of the many Farmers policy perks. This is Tony White, your local Farmers agent. Call me at 541-386-1288 to learn more or get a quote.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Not available in every state. Only available with select Farmers branded policies, subject to terms and conditions, underwritten by Farmers, Truck, or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliates.
All right, it's time to get your car fixed. That means it's time to get it fixed at a place you can trust. You should trust the professionals at Jack's Body Shop. With almost 50 years of experience, we take care of collision damage, paint, and spray-on rhino bedliners all throughout the gorge. Here at Jack's Body Shop, we are insurance-approved, use only top-quality products, and 100% guarantee your satisfaction. When you need experience, you need Jack's Body Shops and Rhino Linings in the Dalles. Call us today, 296-9170, or visit us at jacksbodyshop.net.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:11 in the morning. We're happy to have with us in studio this morning Sarah Fox to talk about the Sense of Place lecture that is coming up on Wednesday on wildfire in the gorge, the good, the bad, and the lessons from Eagle Creek. And on the telephone, Jessica Hudeck from the Forest Service is going to be one of those speaking at the latest event. Good morning to both of you, one on the phone and one in the studio. But thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Sarah, first of all, maybe for those who aren't familiar, although this has been going on now for quite a while, but you had the pandemic bump in the road like everybody else. Sense of Place lecture series. So tell us what that's about.
Well, we're actually in our 13th season, which for a lecture series of this size means we're about 97 years old. We're wise old creature at this point. And, you know, I'll tell you, people talk about silver linings for the pandemic. And I have to say, we gave some thought to whether we should pull the plug until it passed or stick it out. And our sponsors and our audience said, we need you right now because we've known you for so long. And so we shifted to all virtual for about a season and a half. And we've returned in person. But the great thing that came out of that season was that we discovered there's a huge online audience that wanted to tune in from this region, the rest of the country, and even folks tuning in from around the world. So it's great because we can get the stories of the gorge and this place out to an even broader audience and make it accessible to people, even on days like today when it's icy and snowy and they don't want to drive into Hood River.
But this series, you know, what you try to do with this, with Sense of Place, you use various topics, but there is kind of a central theme, isn't there?
Yeah, the idea is no matter who you are or where you come from, if you're new to this place or don't even live here, what we can do is use the one thing we all have in common, which is this place, to come together and learn about something new each time. And so it's really the event, the monthly event for people who are curious and want to understand a little more about the cultural, natural, and political history of the gorge, which, if you're paying attention, you'll learn is really offers a lot of insight into those same topics nationwide and even worldwide.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about this one coming up. You're going to have three, I guess, panelists, probably the best way to put it. It's a lecture series, but this one really isn't a lecture as much, isn't it?
No. Well, you know, last year we had a panel of four people to talk about timber and forest and our public lands. And I promised everyone that we would be talking about wildfire, because in that lecture I said, we're just going to do a little bit on wildfire, but next season, I promise, because this is such a big topic. So come this season, I knew we needed to do something and that it was going to take more than just one person to try to tackle such a big topic. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really lucky because we've got Jessica Hudeck, Loretta Duke, and Brian Harvey joining us. And they all come to wildfire from different perspectives and different firsthand experience. Jessica's going to get the evening started off giving us sort of a foundational look at wildfire and help us understand how it can be good and bad. Loretta Duke was the woman in charge of calling the shots at the beginning of the Eagle Creek fire. So she's the one who got the call that said, fire's broken out, what do we do?
And that'd be fascinating because there's been, you know, that's been widely discussed. The start of that fire, again, it was in such a horrible spot to start with. I'm not sure what you really do differently to try to maybe change it a little bit. But I mean, that was something that was widely discussed in the aftermath.
Yeah. Well, and the challenge they faced of having the biggest wildfire in the past century in one of the most populated hiking spots that we have.
Yeah.
And then Brian Harvey's going to bring us to present day and help us look back. We've now been 5 years since the fire. What have we learned? What can we tell about the ecology of the landscape? What can we tell about how fire works in a place like this? And how does that give us insight into the history of fires of this size? And he's got some surprising things that he's found.
I want to get Jessica involved here, obviously, because she's on the phone and we have her on the program. Jessica, as Sarah mentioned, you're going to kind of take people through what the good and bad is of wildfire. First question I'll have for you is, when we talk about a fire like Eagle Creek, of this size and the nature of how it started, does that change how the good and bad dynamic of fire works?
There's a lot of things that contribute to, you know, whether we consider fire as good or bad. And the one thing that I really hope people take from this lecture next week is an understanding of this concept that fire is an agent of change in our ecosystems. It provides a variety of functions and has a range of effects on our resources. Whether fire is considered good or bad is really just about our perception. Like I said, fire is an agent of change. Inherently, it's neither good nor bad, but what fire affects and how we value those things is really what determines whether we call it good or bad. So things like wildlife habitat, water and aquatic resources, timber, recreation, infrastructure, and in the case of the Eagle Creek fire, you know, impacts to potential impacts to human beings and how we value those things really determines whether we see fire as good or bad. So Eagle Creek fire affected things far and wide in a wide variety of settings, including, you know, far out wilderness areas, as well as right in people's back doors. And so we have a wide range of resources to consider, a wide range of values to consider in those cases. And so, like I said, I really hope people just kind of take away this concept that it's those values that we have as human beings that determine whether fire is good or bad. And fires that affect big landscapes are going to affect a lot of different values.
And, of course, you know, Sarah, I'll ask you to chime in here on this, because this fire also, what makes it maybe unique from other fires, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, as you know, our audience with two stations, with the region we go to, there's plenty of wildfires around here, unfortunately. And so, and every wildfire has an emotional impact, usually of some kind. It might be somebody's property, et cetera. But this one, it was a unique impact, wasn't it, Sarah, when we get to the human side of this?
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not the expert guy, sure. But that's why I bring in three experts. Yeah. But I know just as a community member of the Gorge, I think this was the first time where I had such an extended period of effect on my daily life, even though I was not right on top of the fire. I never had to be evacuated. And so I think... And even now, driving through the Gorge, seeing the changed landscape and talking with business owners who were affected at that point, I think that brought something right to our back door that now sort of forced the hand, and we needed to consider it as a community and as a local economy as well.
Jessica, when we talk about the impact of this fire on the ecosystem in the Eagle Creek area, what have we learned over the last number of years? I mean, what are we finding?
Well, I think, you know, in the immediate post-fire period, there was really a lot of focus on things like debris flow and steep drainages and associated threats to things like clean water, infrastructure, and sensitive species, because those are the things that are here and now and are threatening to our values right now. Now, 5 years later, we're really starting to get some answers for our broader questions, like how the way the fire burned and our management response influences what might happen next. Now, I don't want to give next week's presentations away or steal Brian's thunder, so I'm not going to go into the details of it here this morning. But suffice to say, you know, you hit it right on, Brian, and that, like, fire is, it's a hard topic because it provokes this emotional response in people, right? It's the ultimate contradiction. It's terrifying, yet it's beautiful. It's destructive, yet it's also renewing and life-giving at the same time. So you can expect to hear, you know, things like, yes, we had some values that we lost. There's loss to cultural resources, habitat for certain species, recreational opportunities, even spiritual values associated with, like, large old trees. But we need to consider those in conjunction with the values that we gained. There's habitat for different species. There's opportunities to improve our sustainable recreation infrastructure, scenic views. And quite honestly, there's also spiritual value associated with just witnessing that awe-inspiring power of fire. So that there'll be more to come on that next week. But, you know, we're starting to be able to look at, you know, kind of the bigger questions of how did this fire and our management response affect these landscapes. And what can that tell us about how we want to do things in the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, you bring up, you know, in the future, we know that, you know, people are going to continue to visit that area. One of the things I've found fascinating in this is the difference in emotional response between the Portland area and, I believe, in here. In that, because I think here it was more of a, you know, fire, as Sarah put, a fire at the back door, how it disrupted lives. You know, there were decisions made for precautionary evacuation advisories that, you know, I to this day question whether they were helpful or not, and maybe created more panic than there needed to be honest. And the Portland side, which was almost this feeling of, you know, our playground is burning, for lack of a better way to put it. And that makes, I think that makes this unique from other fires. And goodness knows I was heavily involved in covering it for those 2 weeks. I will remember, I've got a file still in my office that's a good, you know, 8 inches thick of what I wrote during the time and broadcast during the time. I would think that makes this fire so unique in how people, and we talk about looking back at management and response.
It certainly makes it unique to us here in this area, because as Sarah mentioned, you know, this is one of the most popular recreation areas in the country on one of the most popular trails in that area, if not the most popular trail. So certainly the management response to the Eagle Creek fire was a reflection of our values. Number one, we got people out. There were 150 people on that trail. So our number one value every single time there's a fire is human life or firefighter and public safety. And then secondly, we protected communities and critical infrastructure and resources. Yeah, maybe some of those calls were made with an abundance of caution, a term that we're used to hearing these days. You know, those are some things you have to make to get, some calls you have to make to get resources. But yeah, having a fire in your backyard really does make you consider what's important to you and whether that backyard is literally your backyard or whether it's the place you go to recreate every weekend is going to influence, you know, your perception of what's good and bad out here and how willing you are to accept losses to certain values.
Yeah.
Can I add something?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that I love about doing a lecture series in this place where we are is that so often every story and every topic is at this inflection point between the environmental landscape of the West moving to the East, of the cultural landscape of the West moving to the East, that we're in this spot that is challenging at times because there is things meeting here in the middle, but I think also gives us a real asset to be the place where voices from various sides get heard and perspectives of different backgrounds get heard. And we have a chance to come together and say, yeah, we're not going to all agree on the answers or how things were handled or the perspective of everything from timber to, you know, scenic areas, some of the other topics we've had, but this is the chance to come together and hear a variety of perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I love, is because I'm not the expert. I'm an expert at nothing except being curious, which is why I find people like Jessica. And so I think I take that stance of this is an opportunity once a month for an hour to sit back and listen and try to learn so that I have a better, more informed opinion moving forward.
You sound like you're giving the disclaimer that I give on this show. Jessica, I want to be, you know, what is maybe a common misperception people have about the effects of wildfire on an ecosystem?
Oh, there's so many, Mark.
I figured it was open-ended, but go ahead.
You know, Sarah really got at the diversity of our ecosystems here in the Gorge, and obviously you could extend that even more broadly. And so people do tend to take their knowledge of fire in one area and apply it more broadly. And it gets at this, is fire good or bad? Well, what fire does in one ecosystem might be considered bad for certain resources, and what fire does in another ecosystem might be considered good for certain resources. So there's this debate, you know, about whether fuels reduction treatments in all of our forests would prevent future fires, or whether preventing future fires is really what we even want to do, whether prescribed burning is valuable for reducing the fire behavior of future wildfires when transferring smoke, you know, to different parts of the year when maybe we're not, so maybe we don't have a whole month of smoke in September 1 year like we did during Eagle Creek. And so the misperceptions that I find are really around people's A, biases for certain resources, and B, taking effects from one system and applying them broadly when our systems are so unique, especially here in the Gorge, where we do have that east to west gradient of culture and people and ecosystems.
Sarah, let's tell people, I mean, we've whetted their appetite, I assume, here. And we're running out of time on this segment. So tell people when, where, how they can catch this event.
All right. So next week, January 11th, that's Wednesday at the Columbia Center for the Arts in downtown Hood River. The doors open at 6:30. The show starts at 7. If for some reason you are out of the area or you are snowed in, you can tune in via the live stream. And all that information is available at mountadamsinstitute.org/senseofplace. Sense of Place is a program of Mount Adams Institute.
And how many more do you got to go here this season?
Let's see. We've got January. Our last one is April. So we've got, we're going to go from fire to ice. We have living snow in February, a mysterious pink snow and the future of our alpine ecosystems. In March, we have a conversation with Cap Brigham, who is the chair of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, and a recently appointed member of the first ever Secretariat's Tribal Advisory Committee for the U.S. Department of the Interior. So one of just a handful of members represented on that national group. And then we end in April. We're going to go way, way back in history to the volcanic origins of the Columbia River Gorge and look at a tangled tale of magma and water with a incredible research scientist, Leif Carlstrom.
I got to ask you before you leave here.
Yeah.
So how do you pick out your topics for this? I mean, imagine you probably, if you're like me, you'll hit on something, maybe like for this show, I'll think about something as I'm driving to a basketball game or something, and then I got to try to remember it later sort of deal. For what you're trying to do, how do you pick this stuff?
I am obsessively curious, and I walk about my life looking for people like Jessica and people who know a lot about something I don't and who are going to be folks that I can put a microphone in front of. Because I love nothing more than finding a smart person or an interesting person or a curious person, waving my arms about and getting folks excited, and then handing the mic and stepping back. Because for me, that chance to take the time to learn and invest some meaningful time into that is what it's all about.
Again, one more time, when and where, how people can take part on Wednesday.
Next week, Sense of Place, January 11th, doors at 6:30, show at 7, Columbia Center for the Arts in downtown Hood River. Come say hi.
And thanks to Sarah, Jessica Hudek from the Forest Service. Thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you, Mark.
And it is now 8:28 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and we will come back and do the news for you right after this.
It's a fast-paced world. And since 1994, GorgeNet has kept their customers up to speed. Gorge Networks is still the Mid-Columbia's only internet company that provides 100% local customer service, from sales and billing to technical support, on-site advice, and free classifieds. To find out more, log on to gorge.net. Is it time for a switch? When it comes to internet or phones for your business or home, make a local connection with Gorge Networks, your local phone and internet service provider for over 20 years.
Above, beyond, because. Skyline Health is about a thriving culture where you have purpose. It's about camaraderie, where we pull together for the greater good. Simply, it's about caring for our people. We go above, beyond, because. Because it's not just a job, it's a calling. Because your success matters. At Skyline Health, we're growing, and we invite you to grow with us. Find your career at myskylinehealth.org and join our inspiring team.
The Pathways Health Connect has been established in Klickitat and Skamania counties through Washington Gorge Action Programs, which connects adults age 18 and over to a community health worker who can help refer them and their families to healthcare, social services, and more. The Pathway program is free and confidential and now includes bilingual health workers representing Latino and Native communities. Participants can be linked to a wide variety of support systems, including signing up for healthcare, insurance, housing, food, clothing, transportation, education, and employment. For more information, email tanya@wagap.org. That's tanya@wagap.org. You can reach an English-speaking Pathways program representative by calling Washington Gorge Action Programs at 506-493-2662. 506-493-2662. For Spanish, call 509-281-2331. 509-281-2331. Learn more at wagap.org or call 509-281-2331. 493-2662.
Yeah. Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road, on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is 8:31 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We'll give you the sense of place information again a few minutes before we get away here. That is a fascinating topic, and Sarah does such a good job with that series. Yeah, just kind of whetted your appetite, hopefully, for you to attend or watch the live stream of it. I'm hoping I'm going to get a chance to do that next week. It'll be fast. Admittedly, I covered that event for the 2+ weeks. I mean, it impacted me in so many different ways. And the thing I remember most about it, unlike any other fire I've covered, like I would go to Rosar's and get a sandwich or something, because I was in here 12, 13 hours a day during that whole thing. You know, we've had fires around here, and but not the real concern and stress people felt with that one. And I've talked about this on the show before. I'm tight for time. I got to get to Lauren Kramer here in a minute, but it's, you know, my thing has always been, I'm thinking back on it, was a feeling that that maybe some things were done that, yeah, I understand with the winds. Goodness knows I respect Hood River County Sheriff Matt English a ton. He's one of the best at what he does. There was a TV story that a TV station did that I remember getting the call from one of the folks at the sheriff's office that gave me a heads up and said that we've seen the video. We think this will be a problem because it intimated that basically the whole valley was going to be evacuated, and that was not the case. what they were doing was the sheriff was showing this reporter, who's a very good reporter out of the Portland area. The sheriff, it showed him that we have an evacuation plan that's in place 365, 24/7 for evacuating the area. And the story kind of came out and intimated and basically came out with the base headline, "Sheriff ready to evacuate the valley." And it kind of, in the situation we were in, got people a little bit jumpy. I remember that. I remember that one very well. I remember we came on, and Matt came on this show the very next morning. We kind of talked, and he was able to talk through it for our listeners. You know, hey, you know, this is what we were. I was showing him that we have this plan that's in place all the time. But yeah, there's a lot of things I remember from that. But really, having people come up to me that were worried the fire was really there imminent, and goodness knows we had the winds. But basically, you know, I spent a lot of time with people saying, hey, you know, a lot of these are precautionary, the abundance of caution phrase that Sarah used. You know, that's what it was all about. Going to be interesting. They're going to go through a variety of different topics in that program on Wednesday. I suspect this will be one of the most popular they have, and that's a very popular series. To do something like that for 13 seasons is remarkable, by the way. Anyway, let's give news headlines real quick. Lauren, if you're out there, I'll be calling here in a couple minutes. The suspect in the November slayings of four University of Idaho students has arrived in Idaho, where he's charged with four counts of first-degree murder and felony burglary. Brian Kohlberger, a 28-year-old doctoral student at Washington State University, was flown by Pennsylvania State Police to the Pullman-Moscow Regional Airport near the Idaho border and handed over to local authorities Wednesday evening. Uniformed law enforcement officers were waiting on the tarmac for the Pennsylvania State Police to land. Then they escorted the handcuffed Kohlberger to a caravan of five vehicles for the short drive from Washington across the Idaho border. Kohlberger's arrival means the court documents filed in his case should soon be unsealed, potentially shielding some light on Latah County Prosecutor Bill Thompson's reasons for arresting Kohlberger. Oregon's official death toll linked to COVID-19 surpassed 9,000 people since the start of the pandemic. According to state data released on Wednesday, the state has now recorded 9,024 COVID-related fatalities, which includes 62 newly disclosed deaths. As of last week, Oregon, through the pandemic, had the eighth lowest death rate among the states, according to federal data. A group of outside attorneys failed to reach a consensus on whether Clark County Deputy John Feller should be charged for shooting and killing off-duty Vancouver police officer Donald Cejota back in early 2022. Armed robbery suspect had shown up at Cejota's house. Cejota was stabbed with the suspect, then shot to death by Feller, who claims he mistook Cejota for the suspect. The robbery suspect, Julio Cesar Segura, surrendered at the scene. He's facing several charges, including first-degree murder. And Washington State Democratic Party Chair Tina Podlowski is leaving the role after 6 years. It is 8:36 in the morning.
Save 50 to 80% off retail every day.
Box Drop Mattress.
Get it now,
because it may be gone tomorrow.
From basic inner springs to gel foams to hybrids,
you'll sleep better for less.
Box Drop Mattress.
Stop in now. Limited quantities.
Don't miss your chance to save.
Payment options are available. Get free local delivery in the valley.
Over 15 beds on display.
Come in now. Get it now. Save now.
Brand new mattresses 50 to 80% off retail. 1120 Tucker Road in Hood River and on Facebook. Better sleep, better prices.
Box Drop Mattress.
Acura, Alfa Romeo, Aston Martin, Audi, Austin Healey, BMW, Bentley, Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Daewoo, Daihatsu.
Hi, this is Zach Del Carpine. That was 10-year-old me. Fast forward to today, and you can find me in our family-run Del Carpine Automotive shop working on all the makes and models. Like Sprinter, Mercedes, Audi, Ford, GM, Subaru, Volvo, BMW, Lexus, Mitsubishi, Toyota, and all kinds. Is it time to get your vehicle worked on? Call us at Family Run Del Carpine Automotive, where there's no job too big or too small. We work on them all.
Saturn, Scion, Subaru.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Oregon high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the OSAA and the Oregon Athletic Directors Association.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And it is now 8:38 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today, and our next guest is Lauren Kramer, Associate Professor of Practice Extension Family and Community Health, OSU Extension, Hood River and Wasco Counties. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to reverse the order I was going to do this in, because we were just talking about the Sense of Place lecture coming up in the midweek of next week that's about the aftermath of the Eagle Creek fire. So I thought this would be a good chance to kind of segue this and ask you about the work OSU Extension and yourself have been doing on a wildfire smoke plan. And not to say always wildfire smoke, but a smoke plan for this community and for the whole region. Where are you at right now?
Correct, yeah. Great question. Thanks for asking. So we received some funding from the Department of Environmental Quality in March of last year now to complete a community response plan when we have smoke events in the gorge. And so we are getting to the stages where we're ready to receive some community input. I wanted to make sure your listeners are aware that we're going to have a listening session over Zoom on February 3rd from 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m., so kind of over the lunch hour. We may have additional ones as well, but that is one that's scheduled right now, and folks can register through our Facebook page or our OSU Hood River or Wasco County websites. We have a shortened BEAVS link as well, BEAVS.ES/5M. And that will be an opportunity for us to share some of the information that we've already gathered, the ways that we currently respond to smoke events in our region, and also get feedback from the community on the ways that they would like to receive information. As we know, there are a lot of different channels to get news and updates and evacuation or public health and safety messaging out there. So we want to know what the best ways are to reach different folks across our region, knowing that young people may prefer different communication channels than our older adults or than Spanish speakers or all types of different communication strategies. So that'll be part of that. We'll also be distributing a survey across the gorge to ask some similar questions. We also want to understand if people would be interested in using smoke shelters, for example, or clean air shelters when we have a big smoke event like we did in the Labor Day fires of 2020 or the Eagle Creek fire of 2017. So that'll be some of the types of questions, as well as some other things about communication again. So yeah, that's what's coming in terms of the community response plan. I also wanted to share that we have now purchased and installed 9 air quality monitors across our region. Those are brand new, and they are scattered across Hood River and Wasco counties at schools and orchard sites. And so we have much, much better local data that can basically be community by community specific. So that will really help schools and work sites and residents of each of our smaller little towns across the region know what the air quality is for Parkdale specifically or Cascade Lock specifically. So that's something that we're really excited about, and hoping to get those monitors on some state level websites. But for now, they are on a local website, aqi.eastbaselabs.us, and that's where you can see all of our monitors for the Gorge region.
Now, remind me again the scope of this plan as far as area. If I remember right, Hood River, Wasco, and Sherman counties, being a State of Oregon OSU extension project, I didn't think necessarily you were going into the Washington counties on this.
We are not, though our survey will include some Washington folks because we are partnering with Paul Lindberg and Claire Rossen, who are doing some grant writing to basically mirror this effort on the Washington side. We're currently looking for funding for additional monitors, as well as to basically repeat the community response plan process. But you are correct, with both the OSU funding that I have and the Oregon DEQ funding, this scope is limited just to the Oregon side for now. But we are hoping to gather data that would include the full gorge region so that we can utilize that down the line once we've got funding for the monitors and additional work in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Now I'll turn to what we were going to talk about first. That is, you've got the Strong People program through OSU Extension. And didn't this originally get called the Strong Women program?
Yeah, yep. It's a national program, and they have been working on some inclusive rebranding and making sure that all people know they can participate, that it's not limited to women. Although the original research was done with women, given their higher incidence of osteoporosis and some other chronic conditions resulting from aging. But we now know and want to make sure that all older adults feel welcome and can do strength training. It is recommended that all adults strength train twice per week, but we know from data nationally and across the state of Oregon that only 15 to 20% of adults currently meet that recommendation. So we are really hoping we can jump on those New Year's resolutions and help people join our local classes. We've got 13 in-person locations across the gorge, as well as 6 different Zoom options currently being held throughout every week, basically. So if you are interested, please get a hold of me and I can put you in contact with the group most close to you, your home or your work site or wherever you'd like to exercise with them. And they are ready and waiting for some new participants.
So how do these classes work? I think sometimes we think about going to, physical education classes, for lack of a better overall term here. And you tend to picture in your mind something fairly intense as far as the exertion involved. I don't think that's necessarily the case with this, is it?
Correct. Yeah, I think of I could paint a picture for people. If you were to walk into a class, you'll likely see mostly older adults between the ages of 60 and 80 is kind of the demographic of the majority of our classes right now. They are moderate intensity, so folks are going to come in and select their own weights. So you get to decide if you're lifting weights at all or if you want to use 1 pound dumbbells or 10 pound dumbbells. The variety of weights are at each class and people can pick and choose. They do a brief warm-up, usually set to music. I like to play DJ in the classes that I lead and find something fun and active and with a good beat to get us moving for a few minutes. And then we move into a series of between 8 and 10 different exercises that utilize the whole body muscle system. So we'll do a wide leg squat, for example, and bicep curls. And so these are designed to strengthen the muscles of all the major muscle groups in the body. They will help improve balance and stability as well as flexibility, and that helps to keep older adults strong and independent. And the goal really is to help adults exercise, but I would say one of the primary and most enjoyable factors of the classes is the social connection. I would say time and again, that's what people cite as the reason they keep coming back. And some of our classes have been meeting now for well over a decade. And I would say that's a pretty impressive stick-to-itiveness for a lot of these programs. Many of us have probably had the experience where we bought a gym membership and went a couple times or even not at all. And so the fact that these groups have been meeting for so long with such consistency is really impressive to me. And I think that is because of that social connection, but also the fact that you really can cater it to your wants and needs. You're not going to be bulking up and looking like a bodybuilder. It's really about improving our functional abilities to make sure that we can be strong and independent to carry out those activities of daily living. And that's really the goal. And so usually classes are just over an hour long, and then they meet anywhere from 2 to 3 times per week to make sure we're meeting that recommended goal for physical activity and strength training.
Yeah, you mentioned the social aspect of this. I would think, you know, one of the positives about, and what there are many in what you're trying to do here with these classes, I would think that social aspect helps provide the motivation to keep going.
Yeah, definitely. I would say as the groups get to know each other and form those strong social connections, they also become somewhat of a safety net for one another. And I've had groups tell me they've been able to recognize signs of early dementia and contact a close relative to help an older adult who's living alone in the region. Or if someone doesn't show up for 2 classes in a row, there's a group of folks that are either knocking on the door or giving them a call to check in. They know about one another's lives, and there is, in addition to the exercising, little bits of sharing and group connection. They ask and answer questions or share updates about what's happening in the community. And I've heard from a lot of people who moved here maybe to be closer to their grandkids and didn't know anyone and got connected to strong people and now have this incredible network of friends who they can both exercise and socialize with several times throughout the week. And I know so many of our groups really struggled during COVID when we had to stop meeting in person. And as I mentioned, we have Zoom options now, and many of them did shift to Zoom entirely. And some have continued to stay only on Zoom because the leaders or the groups have found that to be easier. But many of them could not wait to get back in person because it's just harder to really connect and socialize over the screen. And so I think hopefully we've got options for people all over the place. And I've even had folks share that when they're out of town or going on vacation, they can tune into the Zoom classes and stick with it no matter where they are, which is great.
So we just got a couple minutes left here. How can people who'd like to take part in the Strong People program find where these classes are or where to log in if they're going the virtual option?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing right now is for people to email me or call our office, either Hood River or Wasco. I'll share my phone number in just a second. But that way I can be in communication about, okay, where are you from, or where, which community would you like to attend, and then connect them directly to that group. I've also got the list of all the Zoom login. There are many of those for the six different classes, so I can share those links and passwords directly with people. But my direct phone number is 541-386-3343. That'll get you to the extension office itself. And then my direct line is 38258. Again, that's 38258. And I'm happy to connect folks to these classes. They are a great way to meet folks, get connected, and stay in good physical health.
And Lauren Kramer has been our guest from OSU Extension, Hood River, Owasco Counties. Lauren, thanks for doing this again.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
And it is 8:51 in the morning. We will come back and mention a couple things when we come back right after this.
We're all aging. Someday we'll need assistance to age well in our homes and community. How would you like to lend a hand now to an older adult by assisting with everyday tasks? The Hood River Valley Adult Center, in partnership with Age Plus, is looking for volunteers to implement circles of care services such as respite care for caregivers, friendly check-ins, meal preparation, transportation, and grocery pickup. Interested to learn about circles of care and volunteering? Go online to hrvac.org or call 541-397-0724.
When disaster strikes, being prepared can make a big difference. A preparedness tool called Shake Alert Earthquake Early Warning System has been activated in Oregon. Already in place in California, Shake Alert detects significant earthquakes quickly and sends an alert to people before shaking arrives at their location. The time between receiving the alert and feeling the shaking gives people critical seconds to protect themselves. No sign-up is required. These important alerts come automatically on most cell phones, making a distinctive sound and a text message that reads, "Earthquake detected. Drop, cover, hold on, protect yourself." The Shake Alert message is available in Spanish for phones set to receive alerts in that language. Another way to receive Shake Alert notices is to download the Quake Alert USA mobile app. While there's no way to know when an earthquake will strike, the precious seconds of advance warning provided through Shake Alert will give you time to take protective actions. You can learn more by going to shakealert.org.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:53 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. I mentioned I would do this again, so I will do it right now. That if you were with us the first part of the show, which I hope you were, talking about the Sense of Place lecture coming up on Wednesday. That'll be at Columbia Center for the Arts on Wildfire in the Gorge, the Good, the Bad, and Lessons from Eagle Creek. Jessica Hudeck from the Forest Service is going to be one of the panelists there. Loretta Duke, a fire management officer for the Gifford Pinchot National Forest. And Dr. Brian Harvey, who is going to talk about understanding the nature of fires and climate. And we will, they're going to talk with Sarah Fox, who will be, of course, hosting the program. And Sense of Place lecture on that. We talked about it in the first part of the show. It's going to be fascinating. Again, the topic is officially, I did not read the topic, Wildfire in the Gorge, the Good, the Bad, and Lessons from Eagle Creek. And it's going to be on Wednesday evening of next week, January 11th. Doors open at 6:30, presentation at 7. Columbia Center for the Arts, 215 Cascade and Hood River. Go to eventbrite.com is a place you can go for advance tickets. $10 suggested donation there. And for more information on the whole series or to get the live stream of this, it's going to be live streamed, go to mountadamsinstitute.org/senseofplace. And again, it is going to be a fascinating program. Especially after I did the interview here with Sarah and Jessica. I'm more fascinated now even than I was before. That says something. They do a good job with those lectures, the varying topics that they have. Coming up at 8:55 in the morning, we will wrap her up, tell you what's coming up tomorrow on the show. It's the first Friday of the month, so longtime listeners know what we're going to do, but we will tell you when we come back.
Pathways Health Connect is helping families in Klickitat and Skamania counties recovering from COVID-19 at home by offering to provide home deliveries of groceries, shelf-stable meals, and personal protective equipment.
The Washington State Department of Health established the Care Connect grant for local agencies to support residents to quarantine in their homes and further prevent the spread of the virus. To participate, the affected individual must have a positive COVID-19 test administered by a medical professional. Home tests do not qualify the household to receive assistance. Anyone experiencing symptoms should contact their primary care physician or local health department to arrange for a test and make a recovery plan. Once the positive tests are registered, contact Pathways Health Connect to apply for home deliveries by calling 509-281-0829. That's 509-281-0829. A community health worker will arrange for a no-contact delivery of supplies to be brought to your home. For more information, email pathways at wagap.org. That's pathways at wagap.org.
Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information. Subscription required.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 90% cheaper? And you can get it online? Just go to 4hims.com/joy. At Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and trusted generic alternatives to the biggest brands at 90% off. That's right. Get generic for Viagra, the same active ingredient as brand name Viagra, but 90% cheaper. It's the same medication you get from your doctor, but with zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, Skyline Hospital, The Denture Specialist, and ServPro.
And it's now 8:57 in the morning, got less than a minute to go on Mid-Columbia Today. Tomorrow, Dr. Mike Foss will be here to talk animals from Alpine Veterinary. We'll talk about your pets and our livestock, and we'll chatter about all things animals. So that'll be on the first part of the program. On Monday, we'll talk Hood River County Commission. Imagine we'll have Administrator Jeff Hexel with us, and we'll, I believe, have our new County Commission Chair as well. We'll talk Port of the Dalles, Executive Director Andrea Claus on Monday. Tuesday, it'll be Shannon Marie O'Brien with us from Mid-Columbia Human Trafficking. She's a task force coordinator. And we're going to talk about, I mentioned it on the community calendar, the human trafficking march that's coming up in the Dalles on the 11th in the midday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what that task force is doing. We've talked to this subject with the Dalles Police Chief Tom Worthy in recent months, and something maybe in a small community we don't think happens, but law enforcement will tell you it does. So we'll talk about that with Shannon on Tuesday, plus we'll talk to a member of the Wasco County Commission. We are out of time. I'm Mark Bailey. Thanks for being with us. Talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.